Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph, and we're holding three lines up from the bottom on Mem Amud Beis. Of course, three lines up from the bottom is also three lines down from the top, so we could have actually, but maybe it sounds like we're closer to the end. We say it the other way. So, we're at the two dats over there. And we continue on now with Ma'amarim of Rabami Amarav, which we've been talking about until now, when we got what appears to be a little bit off of the subject by talking about the Dinim of Mikvot and Tefillah, which was another one of the Ma'amarim of Rabami Amarav. And we continue on with this mimer about Yecheskel HaNavi. So Amar Rabami Amarav, Ma'i Dechtiv, V'hata Ben Adam, Aselecha Klei Gola. What exactly was going on? Yecheskel is supposed to be showing Klal Yisrael they better get ready for a long trip abroad. So get your camping gear ready. So what is it referring to when it says camping gear? Klei Golah, things that you're going to need to have with you when you have nothing but the march to the concentration camps. So what is that? So that is the Klei Golah refers to Ner, Vekaara, Veshatiach. So this is a rev. There are other girsaot, by the way. But okay, what we have over here is that you should have a flashlight to take with you and a bowl so that you'll have something to use for food preparation, for kneading bread, and so on. And what we see at the end that they didn't listen. And that's why we talk about in Eicha, the Lashon is that you grounded the garatz shinai bechatzat shinai, that means that there were all kinds of pieces of dirt and little stones that were in the bread because they had no place to make bread. They had to just make, so to speak, a bowl in the ground, a depression in the ground, and that became the bread. And so even that they didn't listen to. The shatiach, a shatiach refers to what we would call like a sleeping bag. In other words, it's something that you can roll up, unroll to be able to eat on, sleep on, and that protects you from the dirt and so on. They would use leather. And then, when it says in the Torah, Tachas Asher Lo Avadat Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Levav Mirov Kol, so then Vavatem Et Oyvecha B'Ra'av U'B'Tzama U'B'Orom U'B'Chotzer Kol. I mean, what else could you be missing? You don't have anything to eat. You don't have anything to drink. You don't have anything to wear. So what is added by B'Chotzer Kol, missing everything? What's the everything? Amar Rav Ami Amar Rav. That's what it's referring to. It's referring to the equivalent of these absolutely minimal supplies that you have, the Klei Golah, which if you haven't gone into Golah yet, so then it's below Ner, or below Shulchan, in this case the Shulchan is the Shatiach, and you're still in a home, so we don't need to, obviously it doesn't mean a literal table if you're leaving your home, but over here you have a table that you can use for anything, for making bread as well. Rav Chisda Amar, B'chosar Kol, missing everything, is not having a woman. So it's below Isha. So no matter what else you've got, there's always some serious thing missing. Rav Sheshi Samar, below Shamash. Listen, buddy, we're talking to South Africans over here. I mean, you don't have anybody to do the work in the house. I mean, like, that's because of coal. You're dead. I mean, what are you going to do? You're not actually supposed to sweep up in the kitchen after you finish eating, are you? So that would be missing everything, you know. Rav Nachman Amar, you know what Pechoser Kol means? Without any brains. That's what Pechoser Kol means. Because the bottom line is you can have everything else in the world, but if you don't have that, you're left with absolutely nothing, as we'll see. Tana, below Melach or below Revav, it means you don't even have a little bit of salt. You don't have a little bit of oil. Nothing has any taste. Everything is just, totally boring. So there's no sense of time in anything. Omar Abaye, we have a Kabbalah, Naktina, that the word oni, the real meaning of being totally destitute, where you have absolutely nothing, which we darshan before Bechotzer Kol, is ein oni ela b'de'a. A person who doesn't have any kind of real understanding of what's going on, it doesn't matter what you have. As they say in Eretz Yisrael, the dabe kulabe. Somebody who's got brains, and of course over here it doesn't mean just the cleverness means that he has actually das, he has an ability to weigh and to remain connected to things and to understand internally what's going on. He's got everything. The lo dabe, mabe. If he doesn't have that, what does he have? I mean, no matter what he has in his life, what value does it have? There's no real meaning to it, to him. It's like watching, you know, these rich Americans running around with a bunch of two-year-olds without the slightest understanding of what is involved in their life, but they're having all the fun that a dog has with a pretty doghouse. I mean, it's unbelievable. So there's nothing there. And the other thing that they say, the dog kani machasar. If you managed to be able to afford this, so to speak, in other words, you bought this, and this is the most difficult thing to buy. So if you bought this, machasar. So what are you missing? But if you didn't get this, makani. So what did you buy? All the things that you bought are so external, so meaningless, that you have nothing. So the Maaseh Mefarshim explained these are two different levels. One is referring to the dabei, that this is an individual who has this as a natural gift. And dakani refers to all of the things that you have to add in your life, that you have to work for a deeper understanding. I'll tell you a beautiful story that happened. It's a terrible story, but it's a cousin of mine, my first cousin, actually has the same name as me, and he lost two children, and so I was talking to him, and when he was sitting shiva for the second loss, so he said to me, I finally understood the Gemara, that darkani machaser, if you got das, what did it cost you? What did you have to lose in order to finally understand anything? Which is a beautiful, beautiful, poignant understanding of the Gemara. You know, that kanita, you managed to get that, so tell me what it cost you. Machaser. Omer of Alexandria, Omer of Chia bar Abba, Eina chole, omeid michoyo, achim ochlin lo kol al kol avonotav. So as we saw before, the nature of a chole is that the person is omeid bedin. And that open, that's why there's such a sensitivity. Remember that we spoke about, we wrote about on Rosh Hashanah, that in a zman of din, the reason that we're makbid even on these silly little simanim is because we're talking about a time of a real tipping point, because that's the din. It can go either way. And therefore, every little bit, we said this was an ogel halacha, that somebody, that was one of the pirushim of the Rosh and the Rif, that if somebody is not mispalel for someone who's at that tipping point, so it's as if they killed him. Because that could have made all the difference. Normally we would never have said that, but it's because they're imed in a matzav of din, that then every little bit matters. And so the point of being in that kind of matzav means that you have to go through an internal revolution to actually get out of that. And because of that, it's a sign that if you did manage to get out, to emerge from an illness that was life-threatening, so it's a siman that Achim Ochlim Lo Akol Avonotav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him, this of course is referring to Klal Yisrael and to aware people and so on, but where it's not just random events. Shenemar HaSoleach L'chol Avonechi, so what do you see? You see that, as David HaMelech points out, first we have the Slicha, and then we have the Refuah, like, which is the way that we daven as well, in our Seder HaBrochas. So first, there's Slicha. The person zech the Slicha, he can then have a complete Refuah. Rav Hamnuna Omar, Chozer L'Yemei Alumav. It's not just that he gets out of the mess. It's that he undergoes a revolution and that he gets back to where he was better than before. He doesn't just make it out. Because what do we see? It says an incredible pasuk in Eov. And there it's talking about getting well. So Eov is saying, and this is an amazing word, Rutafash pisaro mina'ar. Rutafash has absolutely, there's no meaning to that word. That's the only place it's used. So the closest meaning of Rut, what does it mean to you? What does the word feel like? I think it feels like, in English, retro fresh, you know? And that's exactly what it means. It means that you go back to the way you were as if everything is fresh, right? So in Hebrew, it's rotuv. So rotuv is fresh. And pash means that it's all spreading. It's all like, you know, very youthful. And so it means you go back to being a teenager. So ruta pash bisaromi noar. So he will be so fresh and so new, even more than he was as a teenager. Yashuv li yumei alumav. He will go back to the days of his early youth. So that means that everything becomes, looks to that person as new. And then when it says, kol mishkavo hafach tabilchoyo, so that means you turned everything upside down. This is a very painful understanding by Rav Yosef. We know about Rav Yosef's personal experience, right? And then Rav Yosef, remember, became ill, and he was someone who had all of his learning very misudar. So he looks at the getter of misudar learning in Chazorah as being like having your bed made properly. So when a person is misudar, right, so he gets up in the morning, his bed is made, basically. 5 minutes he's up, the bedroom is clean, his bed is made, his bathroom is clean, that's it. He's a person who's misudar because everything in his life has its place. And that means that every Mishnah has its place and every Gemara has its place. And that's the way that he keeps it all in mind. And the moment it becomes chaotic, then everything falls apart. So to him, to Rabbi Yosef, can you imagine? The meaning of kol mishkavo hafach b'cholyo, that you turn his bedding upside down because he was slashing and turning and twisting in his fever, means he forgets all of his learning because it's no longer misudar. That's what happened to me. So it's lomar de mishakach limudo. So you guys don't understand. Yeshuv limei alumav doesn't mean you become a teenager. It means you go back to the day when you don't know anything. Alumav means like la'alem. So everything is forgotten from him. Right? That's a very personal expression of how he addresses the pasuk. And of course, it's not a contradiction to the way we understood before. Because when we say you start all over again, you start all over again in many ways. You have to reconstruct the way you know things. Like we find with the story of Rabbi Zeira and fasting, about going to Eretz Yisrael. So he wanted to forget everything that he knew from Talmud Bavli. I mean, it's an incredible willingness to start over because you know how prejudiced you are from what everything that you thought you knew until now, right? So it's not entirely a klola. Anyway, this happened to Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef himself chalash. And because of that, iakir lelimude. So he basically forgot many of the things that he had learned. And he just couldn't. Iakir le, you have to realize that the word iakir le means heavy. It got too heavy. Meaning that he could no longer handle it. It doesn't mean that he forgot in the normal way something happened to his memory. It means that it was too much to be able to chazer and to bear in mind, and therefore just got out of control. Once it gets out of control, overloaded, thank you. So yeah, overloaded is a completely different nakuda than being memory affected. And that's why what happened was that Abaye, who had learned from Rav Yosef, so Abaye gave back to Rav Yosef everything that he had learned from him. And he was Ahadre Abaye Kame. So Abaye was able to review it for him, put it back into place. And Hainu, the Bechol Duch Tamrin, that's why so many places in Shas, we have the following conversation with Abaye and Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Abaye says something, or somebody says something, supposedly that Rav Yosef had said even, and Rav Yosef says, I never heard that. Om Rav Yosef, lo shmieli hadashmaitse. Man, well, that's a big Kiddush. And Abaye would say, what do you mean? You taught it to us. Amale Abaye, atamrita ni'alan, umihamatnita amrita alan. So it would say, this is what you taught us. This is where you brought a raya to what you taught us. And in doing so, everything had come back because of Abaye back to Rav Yosef. Now, an even more dramatic description of such an event was the life of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. As we know, Rebbe was able to include 13 different approaches in his Mishnah. That was a monumental achievement. Because as the Tosis Reed points out, the idea of being able to do that means that, like when we go through a Gemara, and we'll ask a kasha from the Braita on the way we understood the Mishnah, right? We do this all the time. So a Meisve, and then we have a Tanya de Misayele, and like on every single Mishnah, we do that. And there we don't do it across all of Shas. We just do, okay, let's attack this Mishnah with the Braises that are Nogea this Mishnah. But having these 13 different approaches means that Rebbe had to do that with all of the elements that were included in the Mishnah. He had to ask them on each other. And he had to figure out why they're not contradictory, but are self, what's the word I'm looking for? Come on, guys.
Complementary.
What's that?
Complementary.
Self-referential?
No. No, they
self-contained. Perpetuating.
None of the above. Thank you. Anyway, so they all hold together, and they're meant to be each one a holistic approach in which I can understand each place where they're differentiated. They're differentiated, self-consistent, in a consistent way. And therefore, it was an unbelievable achievement. So he had every one of the different approaches clear in his mind, right? So he taught Reb Chiya 7 out of the 13. He was able to give over to Reb Chiya 7 out of the 13. Now, in the end, remember, Rebbe became sick. So, Ki Avigomer Rebbe Tlat Esrei Api Hilchita. Agmer Le Reb Chiya Shiva Minhon. Rebbe himself became ill, and the whole thing fell apart in his mind. Now everything was a wreck. And you can imagine, he was like, you know, you might as well be dead. I mean, you're putting your whole life into this. And now he can't understand. He's like, where we are, starting on a Mishnah. What the heck was Rebbe thinking? Oh, no. You have to go through the whole thing now and figure it all out. And then you're lucky to figure out one approach. So what happened? So what happened was that Rebbe Chiya was able to restore the 7 that he had been taught. But he didn't know the rest, so he couldn't say it over to him, and it was not Mesudr. So then, this is the story of the famous laundry guy, right? So remember, that was the laundry guy who jumped off the roof when he heard that he wasn't at the Levaya of Rebbe. We got this back in service. And that laundry man had spent his entire life making sure that he does everyone's laundry under the window of Rebbe's house. So what used to happen? He heard Rebbe learning every day, and he would sing along Rebbe's words. There was a laundryman in Panovich Yeshiva that did exactly this. It's an incredible story. I know this is like over 50 years ago. It wasn't really. He was a maintenance man, and he was a Taimani. And in those days, the Taimanim knew every word that the Rambam wrote Baal Peh. So the Pirush HaMishnayos, little children, everybody knew the whole Pirush HaMishnayos. He knew the whole Mishnah Torah by heart. So in those days, there were no computers, obviously. So anybody who needed a mocker in the Rambam would go to the janitor and would ask him. He would immediately quote the Rambam and tell you exactly where it was. Fine. So how much did he understand of the Rambam? That's something else. So this laundryman, he had learned Rebbe, when Rebbe was going over all of these different things in his mind, so he would say them over so he was sure he got them straight. The laundryman was a tape recorder, and he was able to play back everything that Rebbe had said for the past 40 years. An amazing story. So in the end, Shita Uzdu, they lost the other 6 ways because they only had 7 ways of approaches. So Haviahu Kadja, there was the famous laundry guy that Havishmiel Eile Rebbe Kedavi Garso, and he would always listen in to Rebbe saying them over. So he knew everything Baal Peh. Also Rebbe Chiya, V'gomra Yaton Kamikatsra. So Rebbe Chiya went, and he learned the other 6 things from the laundryman, and then he was able to come back, and Ata V'hada Yaton Kamirabi. So he would come, and he worked them out, and so on. He would teach them over to Rebbe. When Rebbe would see that laundryman, he would say to him, "Ata asita oti v'etchia. You have given us our lives back. We were dying." And this is like, thank heavens for a laundryman. Others say what he said, you made Chia, and Chia made me. So that would be, if you hold there's a maskirin, the covet for the Talmud, b'fnei Rav, I mean, then that's what would be your mechuyev to say each step. So also, that's how some learn. I mean, the truth is that assuming that there was a difference between what Chia did to Rebbe and what he did for Chia, which is the way I explained it, that Rebbe Chia was misadar it, was able to give it over to Rebbe as something that wasn't just a tape recording. So therefore, Rebbe had to split it into two things. I'm not being mashveh what Rebbe Chia said to what he said, but we both owe you everything in different ways. That I think that's the real pirush, and not like the Achronim explain it, but fine. Anyway, Vamar of Alexandria, Amar Pchia Barapa, you should know that the nace, that a person who's burning up with fever, and that person is able to survive until the fever breaks and he becomes renewed. Gadol neis shenaaseh lecholeh, yoter min haneis shenaaseh lechananya mishol v'azaria. Chananya mishol v'azaria were saved from that incredible furnace, right? But what's a furnace? A furnace is just, you know, it's a man-made fire. So Shulchananya Mishol V'Azaria, that's Esh Shel Hedyot. Anybody can put that out. Call the fire department, you know. Use enough water and you put out the furnace. So when it comes to the Choleh, however, that's not as easy to put out, is it? I mean, that is much more complex. And that is Shel Shamayim. Who's able to put out something that is Min HaShamayim? Mi Yochol Chavuta? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Om Reb Alexandri, Om Reb Yechia Bar Abba, Varmile Om Reb Yeshua Ben Levi. Kivan Shehigia Kitzo Shel Adam. When a person's time is up, HaKol Moshlim Bo, then anything in the world, the craziest thing, the slightest little accident, the most meaningless little slip-up can bring about his end. HaKol Moshlim Bo. Shenemar, because you see, Cain said, okay, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with me, everything that I bump into in life is going to kill me. There's no way that you can handle anything without the Shekhinah being present to some extent in your life. You're telling me that you're going to hide your face from me, so then that's killing me, basically. Rav Amar, Rav said, I have a beautiful pasuk. This is such an amazing pasuk. It really is stunning. So as Dovid HaMelech puts it, L'mishpatecha amdu hayom ki hakol avadecha. What does that mean? So today is the day that your mishpat gives everyone a shlichut. They are your servants, and everything stands in for that. What does that mean? That every event becomes a servant for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to end this person's life, whose time is up. And that's the mishpat. Rabba Bar Shila Amrule. They told Rabba Bar Shila, this is an example of such a story. There was this tall guy who was riding this little mule. So he was basically so tall that, you know, he could have handled a little bit of a puddle very easily. All right, but he was crossing over a bridge. And the mule went a little bit nuts because it got scared from looking over the edge of the bridge, and it started shaking, and it threw him into the river, and he died. He drowned in the river. So Rabba Bar Shila, this is incredible. This guy was a football star. And believe me, if he wanted to cross over without the mule, he could have just swum to the other side or walked to the other side. And here, because of this absurd accident, he dies. Kori al Nafshe, so he, meaning he applied to him, not normally Kori al Nafshe is about himself. Some learn that it means about himself, meaning that he wanted to learn from this how much the world expresses HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. L'mishpatecha amdu hayom, the pasuk that we said, ki hakol avadecha. Another beautiful story is that Shmuel chaz yelahu. Now, remember, there's a big question about whether I'm sure you've heard this. Is the Makkah in Mitzrayim? How do we understand the Makkah of, is it frogs or is it crocodiles? Because there's all kinds of weird pirushim, right? So what is Tzvardeya exactly? Anyway, over here you see clearly that the Rishonim understand Tzfardea as frogs. Why? Because the word in Aramaic for a Tzfardea is a krok krok, which is a frog. And they all point out that this is Tzfardea, because it goes krok krok. Okay. So then the story goes like this. So there was an akraba, there was the scorpion, and it's sitting on top of a krok krok, which is a frog. Now, scorpions can't swim. So this scorpion gets a ride across the river on the back of a frog. So Shmuel is thinking, what the heck? I never saw anything like this. Why is a scorpion riding on the back of a frog? Okay. So they get to the other side of the river and there's a guy there. The scorpion goes over and stings the guy who drops dead. Koriale. So Shmuel said, oh, that's the pshat. This scorpion was the one that was supposed to be taking this guy's life. How's a scorpion going to get to the other side of the river? Right on a frog. A frog's going to take a scorpion. Of course. Beautiful story. Anyway, so now.
Maybe it's particularly striking because it's an old fable about the scorpion stabbing his wife.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
So
yeah. It. Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah. Anyway, back to the din of Bikur Cholim. Omer Shmuel, Ein mevakrin et acholeh, ela lemi shechalatzato chama. So you only can come in for Bikur Cholim for someone who has been attacked by a fever. Well, now, obviously, that is ridiculous. It doesn't mean you can't do Bikur Cholim for someone who doesn't have fever. I mean, so what is he trying to say? He's trying to say that there's certain things that it's inappropriate to be mevaker chola on. So, okay, so what do you mean? I mean, you're talking about the type of illnesses that are essentially present themselves with something like fever. But if you have a type of illness that presents itself in ways that make it inappropriate to be mevaker chola, so for instance, solafuke mai. Well, like Rabbi Yossi ben Prata says, that Rabbi Eliezer pointed out, don't visit somebody who has some type of intestinal illness. It's very embarrassing. The guy has to run to the bathroom all the time, and he smells bad, and he doesn't want anybody in the room. So that you don't go to. And you don't go either to visit people who have a problem in their eyes or have migraines. You don't go for that. Why not? I mean, cholim ayim, I understand, because it's embarrassing, mishum kisufa. What's wrong with going to people with cholim ayim, umichushe harosh, my taima? No, that's a different reason. That's as Rabbi Yehuda pointed out. Look, when you've got pain in your eye, so then speaking makes things much worse. And dibur es kashalein, as anybody who's had a migraine knows, right? Umale leishta, but it's good to get people talking if they have fever. And the more involved they are in other things, the less they feel their fever. It doesn't irritate them. And therefore, that's what you want to go in. The same thing is true for the other symptoms of migraine. It's going to make him more sick. So what are you coming in there and now he has to respond to it? Just get out of here, man. So therefore, that's not considered to be a Bikur Cholim. Remember those. We've already seen that even in places where it's not supposed to be a personal bikur, there's still an inyan to dive into the person or to let the people know in the house that you called and you asked about him, because all of that is also included in bikur, because bikur means monitoring the state of the chola. It doesn't mean coming in to visit necessarily. Omar Rava, you know, I got to tell you something about fever. You know, these Western doctors, they love to knock down fevers, but they're crazy. Because the truth is, fever is very beneficial. And I would say to you that if it wouldn't be for the fact that fever is so linked to disease in other way, and often you get fevers as something that is part of a shlichus for the Malach HaMaves, so, you know, I can't recommend having fevers because of what it's attached to, but if you could just have fever, it'd be a good thing for you. So ilav de parvanka the malacha the mutaf, it wouldn't be a shliach of the malach amavas, it would be completely good for you. It's as good as chizra ladikla, you know, the stuff that sticks out at the bottom of the palm trees. So that, like, it scratches you if you go by it. You know, and say, well, what does a beautiful palm tree need all of that stuff? What for? Are you kidding? Because every dog that was going to do its stuff over there and every animal is going to rub its back on that, the tree is protected from it because it keeps everything away. And the same thing is true of free, of your fever. It keeps bacteria at bay, and it's great. And if you could have one every 30 days, it'd be great. That would be just as good as teriyaki legufa. Fascinating reference to teriyaki. What exactly? My teriyaki, exactly. I mean, the Gemara doesn't talk about that, but teriyaki became treacle in English. So, of course, treacle was the absolute cure-all in every barn. The problem is that treacle was not teriyaki. Treacle became the mixture of, like, you know, sugar resins with water. They would use molasses with water. But that's not what it was. And what's surprising is that triaca was the first, so to speak, modern medicine. What do you call it, modern medicine? Because it was the first medicine. I mean, it's ancient, right? You see, the Gemara is using triaca. But it was the first medicine that, first of all, they had clinical trials for, which is interesting because the Rambam refers to clinical controlled trials. And he says, you're lucky if the data over there is usable. Alachas kama v'kama, such a brilliant Rambam. Alachas kama v'kama, all of these nonsensical, you know, anecdotal evidences that people use for medication. But then he uses this la'alacha, the difference between clinical trials and just the anecdotes, which he's matir as a getter of segula, but on Shabbos, you can't use it for chilul Shabbos. If it's a proven medication and went through trials, so then he says, if you're lucky, you didn't overlook God knows how many issues, you know, and you think that you got real data, but you don't have real data. Okay, but you're allowed to be simich on that law. Look, it's a wonderful, wonderful Rambam Mamish in the Pirushim Mishnayos, who explains the difference between real medication, segulites, and so on. But anyway, so this is very complicated stuff. I mean, the government approved triaki was actually had over 100 different ingredients. I could tell you one of them that was definitely useful. Opium. Any of the other stuff, I don't know about. But certainly that had a very profound clinical effect. But in any event, so they first used to use this triaki as an antitoxin. And so therefore it was looked at as like, specifically a poison medication, but it became like the cure all. It's amazing. Look it up. It's unbelievable. The history of triaki. So Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, you know, cut out the shtick over here. Fever and triaki. I'll do without the fever and I'll do without the triaki. Please. I don't need no fevers. So I love all you health nuts. You know, yeah, sure. It'd be great to have a fever. Thank you very much. I'll stick to normal foods. It's adorable to see the back and forth of the different approaches of the Mandiyamrim and the Gemara. Omer Rabba Bar Yonatan Omer Rav Yechiel, our son is yofel lecholeh lerfuah, and it's great for somebody who's sick and it helps him get better. Well, what exactly is our son? Our son, says Rav Yonatan, is chushla desare atikta deresh nafya. Well, it's barley. And it's peeled barley, and maybe it's actually what comes off at the beginning when you start putting through the sieve. Abaye says, these things, I mean, in order to be able to eat them, you know, they market them as the oat bran and so on. I mean, in order to eat that stuff, you got to cook it as much as you cook a steak. It takes forever. So Bayan Bishula came Bisra de Tura. As Richie will tell you, he'll always add a little bit of arsen to his cereal. Am I right, Rich? Are you eating some arsen right now? That's the question. Is that why you won't show your face, Rich? did I call it right?
Oats and chia seeds.
There you go. So, I've shared enough breakfast with Richie in Finland to know him well.
Five. Didn't have enough fiber.
Okay, wonderful. Anyway, so Rav Yosef says it's the opposite. It's the Semide Desare Atika de Resh Nafya. It's what comes out at the beginning, and it's the finest flour that you get out of old barley. Omer Abaye, Bayan Bishula Kibisra de Tura. But that also, still, in order for it to work, it needs a lot of cooking. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, boredom ain't mevakarim. Anybody who suffers from boredom does not deserve someone to get visiting. That's ridiculous. How can you be bored with life? Not only that, ain't maskirin shemo. Don't even talk about a guy who gets bored. That's actually not that at all. But it's a word for boredom, which means exactly what it sounds like. This guy's rectum is a bore full of blood, meaning the guy is bleeding extensively from the rectum. Exactly from what? It's not clear. But you don't even say the word because it's just impolite, and it's too graphic. So therefore, one doesn't even say it, much less to visit the guy. My taima om revelas if they chuka mayan anoves, like a flowing stream of blood. I mean, that's, you know, not pleasant to put him in a position where people have to see that, and because of that, it's best not to go visit him. Okay, then we got to the end of the Mishnah. So the end of the Mishnah says, "Umirapeu refuat ha-nefesh, but not refuat mamon." So, what exactly does that mean? Refuat ha-nefesh, hechikatoni. What does that mean? Psychiatry? I mean, no, because it's talking about refuat mamon. It isn't refuat ha-nefesh, refuat ha-guf. So obviously, that's not what it means. So what it could mean is refuat ha-nefesh, as Ram points, the same way Avram Avinu speaks about people wanting to do things. So he says to the B'nai Chet, he says, Im yesh et nafshechem. What does that mean? Im yesh et nafshechem. If you people are disposed kindly towards me, you'd like to help me out, right? So then, refuat ha-nefesh would be the desire to help the person. We're not going to be paid for it. So then maybe that's the pshat. Refuat ha-nefesh means b'chinam. So you are allowed, as a doctor, you're allowed to heal him because you feel that you want to heal him. And it's just being done without pay. That you can do. And refuat mamon would mean that we're talking about something that you would be paid for, but you can't be paid for it because if you do that, so then what would the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah would mean that the who's the one that is usher? Apparently, because it means that I will be nene from the person who ushered me on giving him hana'ah, on his giving me hana'ah. I mean, that's very difficult to believe. I mean, it's a very strange way of saying it. Wouldn't you just say, merapel bechinam, avolo besachar? I mean, you can give him a refuah for free, but you can't make money off of him. I mean, that would be the normal way of saying it. Refuah sanefesh versus refuah's moment, it sounds like a big stretch. So Ella must be talking about the case, the opposite case. In other words, the one who's not supposed to be getting hana is the chola, not the doctor. So it's not an issue of his not being paid. That's not the point. And therefore, refuah nefesh would mean gufo, and refuah mamon would be behem tos. In other words, even though the patient is not supposed to be getting any hana'ah from the doctor, but the doctor is allowed to be merapim. So that would be because, I mean, remember we had two issues. It depends who makes the neder. If it was the chola himself who makes the neder, so then we said before that it was undoubtedly not made as a neder in order to prevent a doctor from helping him if he gets sick. So that was the way that we analyzed his das before on these kinds of nedarim. And even if it would be that the person who is the doctor is the one who made the neder, it wouldn't matter either, because since it's a dvar mitzvah, and as the Ran points out, it's the biggest hashavas aveda, right? I mean, certainly, if you're allowed to give him back his aveda, I mean, you'd be allowed to be merapeh even his animal, because that would be Hashavas Aveda too. What we're talking about over here is where there are other doctors There's another vet who could cure the animal. There's another doctor who could cure the guy. So there's another vet who could cure the animal. So then you don't have a chiyuv to cure the animal. But when you're talking about a doctor who is able to cure, so then you have a chiyuv of being merapim, not as the din of the hashavas aveda of his nefesh to himself, but rather just the chiyuvim of helping another person. So that you're mechuyev to do. And therefore it would include anything. Certainly the hashava includes giving him his health. Right? So over there he's doing a mitzvah. And as we said, if your kavana is to do a mitzvah and the other person is getting, because of your mitzvah, not a direct benefit, but an ancillary benefit, so we said that that's okay, right? But it would still mean that you cannot administer the medication directly to him. Because remember, that was the Ron's Raya that we're going to see later on. If you, and we've talked about that Mishnah many times before, if there's somebody that is in trouble and you need to save him, you can't give him food. You could be mafkir food and put it on a rock or something, you know, and then let him discover the food. But you can't give it to him directly. And that we've been saying all along, that all of these things have to be ancillary, not miyad liyad. So that would mean that the doctor would not be allowed to inject him directly and so on and so forth. You know, unless obviously there were issues of his being the only one and it's a real chiyuv because of saving him. That's something else. But therefore, so for me to do the mitzvah to him, that's okay. But for me to actually take care of his animals, that's a direct hana'at to him. Omer of Zutra Bar Tuvia Omar Rav. But, now this is very interesting because all the poor doctors, I don't know if Barry is still here, I think he might have given up at 4 a.m, but all the poor doctors that are always bumping into people, oh, doctor, is it okay if I just ask you a little question? These poor guys, there's never a non-agenda friend, right? Everybody's got questions. All right. But meanwhile, you see from here that Lamaisa, you could ask the doctor, the vet in this case, you know, like, what medication can I give to my cow? As long as, you know, he's not going to actually do any of the curing. So apparently, free advice is not considered to be a hana'ah, because Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia says that Rav said that you're allowed to tell the guy, sam ploni yafalo, sam ploni ralo, as long as you yourself are not doing the actual hana'ah. Fascinating. Now, here's a...
Because the Russian is, don't give him this. It's also indirect. This is a type of thing that would be good, right? Could be.
Yes, but I mean, Lamaitza, the Eitz is still an Eitz. You see that that's not called a direct Hana'ah. Now, you've got another problem. Somebody's Usur Bahana and somebody else. Can they go into the same swimming pool? Why not? Well, because when one big fat guy goes into the swimming pool, the water goes up, and then it's nice for the other guy because he has more water. Can they sleep together? If it's a cold night and there's somebody sleeping with you, it's nice and yummy and cozy. And then instead of getting your toesies all cold, then you've got, like Shlomo Melech says, Shnayim Yecham Lehem. But are you allowed to do that if this guy is Usur Bahana'ah? So this is the question. So the Mishnah says, well, if it's a big enough swimming pool, then he can go in. But just to go into a bath together, Avalobik tana. Furthermore, you could sleep in the same bed, but as Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, it depends whether it's summertime or wintertime. If it's summertime, you could sleep together, yeah, because then you're driving the guy crazy by overheating the bed. Avalobi amota geshamim, where you're getting him all cozy. Umeisavi moalamita. Now, it's no problem to sit on the same couch together, you know. I mean, we know that Yitzi and Ariel, they don't always get along. And sometimes the camera has them facing in opposite directions. Nonetheless, they're always on the same couch. So that is considered to be mutter, even in the worst kind of circumstances, because you don't really give hana'at the other guy by bending the couch in a little bit. So that's not considered to be a problem. So they could stay on the same couch. They can eat at the same table. How can they eat at the same table? Aren't we concerned? I mean, it should be at least as bad as one guy eating fleishiks and one guy eating milchiks, and you're not allowed to have a hecker between them. Aren't we afraid that you're going to be nichshal and being nene from the other guy's food, and he's usher bana'a. So there's two very obvious differences. One is, if they're usher bana'a, they're not so friendly. And we know that it says that with somebody that you don't know in a hotel or whatever, you can eat even if one guy's eating fleishigs, one guy's eating milchigs. You're not going to stick your fingers in the other guy's plate and say, oh, that looks good, let me take a little bit. And that's true about nedarim as well. But, I mean, the other approach is that people are much more zohir about nedarim than they are about milchigs and fleishigs. Because, like, you know, just a whole sugya that they're, oh my God, there is suri hanah. So that they'll be more makbid on. The mefarshim being both of those approaches. And you can eat on the same table, but you cannot eat min hatamchui. You cannot eat from the same tamchui. Tamchui was a big bowl that they would put on the table, and then everybody would take from that bowl. So you take the stew that you want from the table. Now, if you're going to be, you want to be a nice guy, you know? So you don't want to take too much because you know this other guy likes to eat more, you know? So you leave some over. But if you leave some over for him that you normally would have eaten, so that you're being mahanehim. So then you're going to be, again, mahanehim, where he's asr ba'ana'a. If, however, it's the type of tamchui that is chozer. Tamchuya chozer is we get this enormous bowl. It's full of food, and it's not just there for one meal. You pass it around to everybody on the table. After the meal, there's going to be plenty left over for supper. So then you put it back in the fridge, you rewarm it, and bring it out again. So it's not meant to be eaten completely. So over there, you can't be mahana the guy. There's far more than enough for everyone. Tanya. So the Braisa says like this. Lo yirchatz imo ba'ambati. So you cannot take a bath together with someone that is osur ba'ana, and you cannot sleep in the same bed. Lo yishani mo b'mita, and it does not make any difference bein gedola bein kitana. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So now this is the way the Ron understands the circuit, that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda explaining the Tanakhama. It said that we have three different shitas. So we have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is cheshesh, and he's geyser, even if it's a big bed. I don't want people sleeping together, because what happens if it's only a twin mattress? And they're not going to know the difference. Furthermore, if it's the summertime, I don't want people sleeping together, because they're not going to know that they can't sleep together in the wintertime. So therefore, he asers did not, without mentioning the season and without caring about the size of the bed. And the same thing is true about the swimming pool or the bath. Ben Gadol Ben Ketana goes back on both of these, that once you're going to allow someone to be in a swimming pool, he'll go into a bathtub together too. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda says no. Actually, Gedola is mutter, even b'imata geshamim, and Ketana is mutter too. Even a ketanah's mutter, as long as it's b'imot hachama. So in other words, Rabbi Meir asers all things because of the ultimate possibility of coming to a matzav where you're being mahana, someone that you're asr mahana. And the same thing is true, says Rabbi Yehuda, about the water level. You can go into a large ambati, because you're not giving him any hana'ah. And you could even take a sauna with him, because you go into the sauna, you're going to cool things down. Yeah, you'll warm things up. So why is the guy going to be nene from you because you're taking a sauna with him? That for sure is mutter. And we're not chayshish that, well, after the sauna, you'll have a beer together. What do you say about that, Rich? Is that so posha? You're not going to have a beer together after a sauna? I don't know. Avo meisi vimo al hamita v'ochel imo al ha-shulchan. I skipped
the Mishnah, but the screen moves. Divrei Rabbi Meir. No, where did I get to?
I can't remember where we were up to. We did the Mishnah, and I did Rabbi Yehuda, and I did the Hazah. Yeah, okay, fine. So we're up to the Pirush HaMishnah. So the Mishnah said, but from the Tamchui HaChozer, yes. When we say a Tamchui HaChozer, we don't mean a Tamchui HaChozer that it's going to be going around the table again. That's not the point. It means Tamchui HaChozer LaBalabaya to be put
into the fridge. That's the point. Every tamchui could be a tamchui chozer. And Rich, I'm making up for having left you out of that Mishnah. I'm so sorry. Usually Barnea sets me straight, but really terrible, terrible. Hashtiyah kadat. But I did mention your name a few times. I haven't forgotten you. Go for it. Go for it. Lo yochali mo min ha'evo shelifnei ha'poalim. If you have an isra hana'a, then you cannot eat with that person from the type of bowl. Here we call it an evos. And it's a pretty insulting term. But the reason, because that's usually what you use for stuffing animals, right? The shora avos means you stuff him. But the reason is that the people that are working will usually stuff themselves. They're very, very hungry. They've been doing a lot of work. And believe me, there ain't going to be no leftovers. So there isn't such a thing as a tamchui hachozer lebalabayit if you're feeding your workers. And therefore, you cannot eat from an evos shelifnei ha'poalim. Not only that, v'lo yaseimo be'oman, if you're on the same row of vines, don't work with someone that is usher ban offering. Because when you work on the vines, then by the time that he is working where he's working, the ground is softened because of work that you're doing in a nearby area. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Because Rabbi Meir, remember, is gozer all circumstances. So even if you're on one end of the row and he's on the other end of the row, you're obviously not softening anything for him. But Rabbi Meir asers because of Rabbi Meir's general approach over here. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, ose imo birachok. If you're far away from him, then you can certainly, you don't have to worry about it because you're not going to be making anything softer. As we said before, the Pashtus, according to Ron, is that there's only two Shitas. It's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And this is Rabbi Yehuda. And then the Tanakama over there was being explained in the previous Mishnah, was being explained by Rabbi Yehuda. Was not argued. Anyway, so the Machlokas over here apparently is only Berachok. Bikarov, everybody agrees that it's certainly Aser. The only Machlokas is Berachok. And this is, again, Rabbi Meir's Svara. Rabbi Meir holds we make Gzera Rachok Mishum Karov. And what's the problem of Karov? Because the Kamarapi Leilara Kame. Because by digging close by, it actually makes the ground overall softer. It's easier to move the ground where you're working, and therefore you're being nene from someone that you're usher b'hana'a. Rez Rabbon and Savre, as we saw before, lo gazrinan. Okay, Rabosai, beautiful, wonderful things. It's been great being together, and we look forward, Bezrat Hashem, to another day. Alavai. Kol tuv, and we should be zocha, Toshia, Samech, Uvorech, Hasnach, Alasecha, or Emin Hasem Adolam.